Well, we always covet your prayers. When we think about standing here before you and try to share the word of the Lord. I would like this morning to write a little bit on the board. I wrote, "Hear ye him," on the board. I'm going to find that over here in Matthew, the 17th chapter. When I think about what Brother Doug prayed about a while ago, he asked that we would have health, but especially spiritual health in this congregation, and especially that also that this would be known, the congregation, the church, would be felt as a spiritual hospital, a place where health can be restored, spiritual brokenness can be made whole, where hope can be reestablished, where purpose of life can be more clearly sounded off, recognized in us. We find here in Matthew, the 17th chapter, and the 5th verse. This is the part that I want to really focus on, the latter part of this 5th verse. It said, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." I don't know how many times we probably, you know, and at that point, maybe I just digress here a little bit. At this point, when they heard that voice that came out of heaven, they could hear literally with these ears the voice of our Lord, Jesus Christ. They heard him talk. They heard his counsel. They saw him as he was. We don't have that same privilege like that today. But we should always recognize and acknowledge that same Christ that they heard back then did go to the grave. He was crucified for our sins. He was buried for our iniquity. And he rose that we might be saved. And he's still alive. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. They're at the throne of God. That's where he is, ever making intercession for you and I. He's there. And he's approachable. And he's knowable. And we can yet hear his voice today. Maybe not with these ears so much. Though I think one time I may have heard it. I don't want to go off into some strange things or some miraculous things. Though I think miracles like that do happen. But there is a spiritual ear that the Lord would have us to open, to recognize, and covet, and seek after communion with our Heavenly Father. Through his Son, Christ Jesus. And it's something that you and I can have. His voice is one that typically it can easily be drowned out if we wish to drown it out. It can be overshadowed with all the cares of life. It can be overshadowed with all my feelings. He can be giving caution and saying, "Son, be careful. Don't do that." And as a teenager, I remember sometimes my parents would try to give me counsel, but my ideas and my desires were so big and so loud in my head that I hardly was able to understand their counsel. And I couldn't hear their voice hardly. Though physically I heard their voice, my heart didn't hear their voice. In our heart is where the Lord wants us to be able to hear his voice today. He has counsel for us that will guide us around pitfalls of life if we'll listen. And if we'll put them into practice. Hear ye him. And I want to encourage us today to recognize that though these words were spoken years ago to people that were able to hear his voice literally, today there is a spiritual connection, a spiritual ear, a spiritual walk that the Lord would have and bring to every one of us, that this great physician This one that is our Lord and Savior is able to look at the broken places in our heart, the places that need to be healed, need to be corrected, and He's able to talk and speak personally to every one of us and bring us to a place of wholeness. I thank the Lord for His salvation here today. Along with that, I would also recognize we have a propensity as humans. It seems to me, I know in my own self, it's always was easier for me to just tell me what to do. Have you ever been on a job? Most of us, maybe some of us are wired a little differently than others. I know we all are, but some of us may like being the leader on a job. But I want to tell you, if you're the boss, if you're the leader, you've got to find something for everybody to do. You've got to make sure everything works right. You've got to work with all the personalities that you're working with. You've got to try to fit them together where they're pulling in the same direction. They have the same vision and drive that you have. And folks, I want to tell you, it's easier just to carry a lunchbox and say, "Boss, what do you want me to do today?" It's a little bit lazy sometimes also. When we are walking with the Lord, we don't have the option of laziness. Or to say, and I understand there's places when young we first come to the Lord and give our heart to the Lord. I understand there's places for us to receive the good protection and counsel of the mother, which is the church, the body of Christ. There's places for us to give counsel and give protection and guidance to each other. But eventually, the Lord wants our ears to begin to hear His counsel. And that is something that takes some effort on our own, some initiative of our own self. There's a place that the Lord would have call us to, this place in the closet, this quiet place alone, away from all the cacophony of this world, all the cries of busyness of this world, till we set ourselves aside a moment of time, at least. And I don't know when it's going to be for you. Sometimes people have set aside times early in the morning, and I appreciate that. I read stories about George Washington Carver. Y'all know that man. I want to tell you, if you don't know him, you ought to study his life. It's impossible to separate his achievements in life from his God. It's hard. You read and recognize that man and what he did. He was a godly example, folks. He met things that was hard, and he came through it with grace. And one of the things he did in the mornings, he woke up very early and he spent, I forget how long, at least an hour. And it may have been two, I don't remember. He spent a considerable amount of time talking with his Lord. I don't always do that, folks. But God help us to find time that we give to the Lord. Because why? Our ears begin to pick up the sweet tones of His voice. And I sit quietly a little bit. I read the Word and I sit quietly. And I've done this before. Read a verse and maybe something stood out in that verse. And I just sat back quietly and contemplated and kind of looked off into space and began to feel His communion with my soul. And I want to tell you, you don't leave those moments the same person that you entered them. Because you've had a touch from the Master's hand. You've had some communion with the real living Lord. That changes us. And we need that so badly. But we have the propensity sometimes of wanting somebody else to tell me what this means. And it's good for us to be able to share. But folks, the real need that we have is to go to the Lord and hear His voice. Hear ye Him. I think that the Lord would have us be in that place when I hunger and I thirst after righteousness and I get myself alone with Him, that I begin to feel His nurturing of my soul, His correcting, His changing of my mind, because sometimes my mind can be so affected with my past that it needs to be recreated and corrected. And in His mercy, He's willing to do that. This is where I'm talking here this morning about our everyday lives. And it's good. I want everybody to come in the service. I want the church benches filled with people that are hungry for the Lord. I want all that. But more than anything, I want every one of us individually to know the author of our salvation and to spend time with Him as you walk with Him and He's real in your heart. Well, we can approach serving the Lord in a way that, and when I talk about this, I don't want to say I reject doctrine, because I don't. But sometimes we can approach this and saying, well, just tell me what the standards of the church is. Just tell me what you all believe, and I'll try to do that. That's not good enough. That's not the ultimate goal. You see, Jesus wants you to know Him. And you want to know Him, whether you know it right now or not. Your heart cries out for that knowing of this one who loves you. And He looks down in you and I and says, give me some time. Put your arms around me, child, and I put mine around you. I've been busy the last week and a half or so, traveling quite a bit. Part of the travels, I again made a stop around where my grandchildren were up there in Kansas. And you know what I really like? I like to see those little eyes look at me with a smile, and I walk, and they walk over and put their arms around me, and I put my arms around them and feel their free love. I love that. And I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father loves it too. He wants to see our eyes look at Him and have this smile that comes across our face. And I believe if we look at Him, we'll see a smile come across His face too. And we just go together. You know what I'm talking about, saints? You know what? Do you understand what I'm saying? When we get alone with the Lord and we feel Him communing with our soul, it's so precious. Well, I would like to also share a verse over here in Hebrews. The first chapter. In the first and second verse, there was a times in the past that the Lord communicated with humans. You know, there was a time in the beginning where in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden that God came down and walked and talked with people. There was nothing there separating Him from their communion. And oh, what a wonderful times. Those must have been wonderful. Just communing unashamed with no sense of guilt. There was just a wonderful communion that they felt there in the Garden of Eden. And then the devil, sin, things separated. Oh, what a broken place. What a separation. The longing of the soul now was marred with all this other that still some of this we struggle with today. The fact that the weeds grow in our gardens. The thistles are out there. And man's got to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. That's all still there. We have to deal with that. But oh, back then they just picked the fruit. They could have. Oh, I sound a little lazy, but I'd sure like to have some of that. I'd sure like to do it that way. But it was marred, and you and I, it's a different world now. And now if I want to commune with Him, Lord asks us to seek, to hunger and thirst. Seek and I'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Hunger and thirst and you'll be filled. Feel your need. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I feel my need. I recognize my inability to guide my life without you. Within that humble seeking of His face, there is a communion that can be found that you can't find with just saying, well, here's the rules and regulations of the church and y'all do your best. No, it's better than that. It's much more personal. It's much more real. There is a God who knows how to help us in the times of our trial, in the times of our temptations. He can be real. Spend time with Him. Hear His voice. Hear ye Him. And allow the Lord to, again, walk and talk with us in the cool of the day. If you ever went down the road and in your quietness, sometimes you don't have a whole lot to do when you're driving. Went down the road and just let your mind run on the things of the Lord. That's a good time to do it. If you're alone, spend some time thinking about the Lord. Let your heart commune. I went down the road before and felt the tears start flowing down my face because the Lord was talking with me. Seek those times. Those are the type of times I'm talking about. Here at this first chapter of Hebrews, God at sundry times, maybe in the Garden of Eden, He talked with them face to face. Then there came a time of separation. Then there came a time that people would try to seek the Lord. I know Abel, that righteous Abel, found some communion with the Lord. There's things that the Lord blessed and he came up. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was some communion that he had, and it was different than what the law of Moses was. There was a personal communion there that he had, and Abraham talked with God. Enoch walked with the Lord. Come clear on down, and then the law of Moses was instituted, and the prophets and the judges. The Lord used all these ways to try to talk with men. So God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in different ways, God, who in the past and in different ways spake in times past unto our fathers, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in this day, in these last days, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He has made the worlds. This is the God. This is the one who in these last days and the day, this is the days that we're living in now. I believe it's the last days. You say, well, Brother Ivan, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth. It's still the last days. These are the days that Jesus has come to talk with us personally, to reveal to us His truth, to give to us His salvation, to pay for us the price on Calvary, to make people who were bound under the yoke of sin, give them freedom, to break the yoke off their necks, to take blinded eyes and open them so that we might see more clearly, might understand His ways and walk with Him. That's the communion, the one that God would have us to give ourselves wholly to today. May the Lord bless us as we walk in this world we're in now. I would also now point over here in Corinthians. And this is an area that really, part of what got me thinking about this message here today. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. I want to set this up in this manner. Maybe draw a little bit on the desire that we can have. I just want people to tell me what to do. I want the preacher to tell me what to do. And as long as what you tell me what to do, it's his job, And I'll tell you that part of the minister's job is to bring to you the pure word of God. And to be encouraging and try to deliver what the Lord has had to share. But it's really not his job to tell you what to do. If I tell you what to do, I want you to take what I tell you and go to your closet in prayer and see if it's what the Lord said. So what I just got through saying is, say, don't always take what I say at face value. I ask you, don't do just because I said it. You can go some other places in this world. I know some other organizations that will be quite willing to tell you what to do. But I want to tell you, that man that tells you what to do is standing between you and God. And I don't want to do that. Because God wants to know you, and you need to know God for yourself. Because there's going to be places in our lives we need to know what the Lord, what thus saith the Lord to me. You need... Well, what can happen when men take those positions in people's lives? You can get this man saying his desires, his ideas, his interpretations of the scriptures, and you might follow that, and you're going to find one over here that may seize his perspective and his interpretation of the scripture, and then you're going to find yourselves at variance and differences and loggerheads with each other. And that's not what the body of Christ has ever been. That's not what God wants. God's never wanted a divided body. That's the reason why today we still believe that there are Christians throughout this world, not necessarily under this building. I wish the building was big enough to carry all, bring all the Christians in here, but that'd be an awful large building to do that. There are people across this world that have heard the voice of the Lord, and they're following Him. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice," and they won't follow another. And they will follow Him. But what can happen if I can come up with my interpretation of the scripture, and I can lay it out and I can hold you to it and say, this is what we believe in this congregation. And even if it's right, I want you to take that to the scripture and confirm it before God. But I can do that, and almost carnally I can say, this is it. And hold this. This is our standard. This is our doctrine. And many times I may have something in there that's not complete, not well completely understood, but God is able to take our hearts and reveal His whole truth to us, what it requires for us today and tomorrow as we walk with Him. The Lord is faithful and just. He's able to lead you in a path that is safe and right in your soul. I don't know it as well as what He does, but I want to encourage all today. Our desire today is to point each one of you, us individually, to Christ, that we might know His voice and hear His voice and feel His leadership personally and individually, feel His guiding hand on every one of us. We need that so badly. I don't want you to look toward me to be the one that tells you what to do. In this chapter here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, I'm going to start reading here at the beginning. And I, brethren, this is this congregation, this is a church, this is one of God's churches here, one of God's congregations in Corinth. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Well, so what are you saying here? When I wasn't able to talk to you with the depths of spiritual understanding, because that's not what your mind was grasping. You had different ways of thinking. You weren't there. You were thinking more on a carnal level. And Brother Paul, here in this Corinthian church, there was a lot of things going on, and there were people that they had heard one minister say something over here. One was named Apollos, and one was named Paul, and different ones that were coming in there, working in the gospel for their good, but they would grasp a little idea here, and these others would grasp this other little idea here, and then they began to say, well, this is more important. This is what Brother Paul said. Oh, this is what Brother Apollos said. And they began to have strife among them. Folks, ultimately, we need to know what God says. Because God won't cause division among us. He will call us to His righteous ways every time. He will call us in a way that will bring unity among us. Because as we follow Christ, you know, Paul, though he did say, follow me. But that's not where he stopped the counsel that he gave them. He didn't just say, follow me. He ended it by saying, as I follow Christ. There's the only place of safety. But here at this church in Corinth, there was all these elements that it was at work. Wasn't able to speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So all these are symptoms. If we have these in our heart, if we have envyings in our heart, if we have strife that's starting to boil out and cause trouble between us, not just as brethren, but if we are a strifeful person, if we deal with our neighbors in a way of striving, that is indicative of carnality within us. Ye are yet carnal. Ye envying, strife, these divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? This is something that is not the will of God. Fourth verse now. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? I want, again, to nail this point down in our mind. This congregation better never be of Brother Ivan or Brother Doug. Or, looking back in my mind and my memory, Sister Margaret Eck had a lot of effect on me. But I'm not of Sister Margaret Eck. Brother Salmons had a lot of effect on me. I'm not a Brother Salmons. Brother Austis Wilson had a lot of effect on me. These are men that I highly prize. These are godly men, left good examples before us, but I'm not of any of them. Though what they shared with me has blessed my soul, and I honor what the Lord has done in their life. My grandmother was one of those that means she's meant a lot to me in my life. She was I found her very valuable for me. But I'm not a Sister Margaret Eck. I'm Brother Clifford Wilson. Oh, that's one that, oh, I'm telling you. He's real special to me. That man was so kind. He came into my life at a time when trust in other spiritual leaders had really been damaged in me, and it was hard for me to find any trust. I felt like there was a lot of hypocrisy, and I want to tell you, when you see hypocrisy, the devil will exploit that in our minds. I want to tell you, if that's where we are, if any of us are today, if that's where any of us are today, turn your eyes away from the hypocrisy and look to Him. Hear ye Him, because He's never been wrong. He's never been untrue to me. But Brother Clifford came at a place in my life when I was dealing with that. And I felt like there was really, you know, I had a hard time rebuilding trust. But Brother Clifford came there. In His godly, loving way, restored and comforted. But I would try to tell Him how much He meant to me, and He always pointed to this one. That's what he always did. Brother Clifford, anytime I would try to tell him something, one time, because I'd put probably too much trust in him. That's one of the things the Lord had to help me with. One time I came to Brother Clifford and said, Brother Clifford, I want you to know if you see me going wrong someplace, I'll give you the right and want you to come and tell me where I went wrong. You just come and correct me. That's the lazy man's way out, isn't it? Just tell me what to do. And Brother Clifford, in his love and his wisdom, he kind of hung his head and he said, oh, I'll probably tell the Father about it. That's so much better, so much wiser. I carried that little nugget with me from that, thinking, oh, what he just told me, you get alone with the Lord. He'll tell you. And I'll be praying with you. Folks, that's what we all should do in our lives. Seek the Lord. I'm not a Brother Clifford Wilson this morning. I'm a Christ. I've been born by the blood of Jesus. And I've learned to love him more as I've walked with him. He's proven himself to me. Hear ye him. When this was spoken, when over there in Matthew, when read that earlier, that was spoken right after. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? You remember was it Moses and Elias were there? And Peter, James, and John were, I believe those were the three that were with him. And they saw all this change. They saw the raiment turn glowing white on Jesus. They saw all this. And they fell down. They were greatly affected. And Peter had suggested, let's make three monuments here. One to Elias and one to Moses and one to you. And that's when the Lord himself spoke to them and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. That still echoes throughout the history. And says to us today, when we are tempted to put up a man or put anything else between me and the Lord, that echoes in our hearts and our minds. It comes down throughout the channels of history and says, hear ye him. Know the Lord. We can get sidetracked in human reasonings and certain errors of life. And it is true that certain errors we pass through, a lot of times we have things in this time period that we're living in today. We have things that we can be tempted with, that we struggle with, that they didn't have 100 years ago. Things change. And I'm not going to tell you that I say it this way. I'm not going to tell you you can't overcome today. It's not that much worse. It's the same devil using different tactics. That's all. You can still live for him now. Just like those brothers and sisters did back there. We can still live for the Lord. But we need to recognize what's going on now. When the devil is using anything in your life, and this is where the personal part comes in. When you are walking with the Lord and you start having things begin to enter in that steals from the time with the Lord or begins to get you so busy with the cares of this life, and that can be something God wants us to be industrious. Don't get me wrong. But he also wants us to put our values first on him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But this thing that can enter in to cause a spiritual weakness with us can be nothing more than the cares or the busyness of this life. And quite frankly, I'll tell you, the last week, I felt a little bit like I've let some of the busyness of life. I've had to steal some time. Sometimes driving down the road, my wife would like to talk sometimes, and sometimes I'm off in my mind. It's good. I don't need to steal time from her either, because that's my first order of business outside of Christ. But what I'm asking us today, as we walk through life, allow the Lord to fortify us in the inner man, that we might be strengthened in the inner man by hearing His voice, by walking with Him, by allowing His counsel, His correction, our knowing Him, allow that to be so real and so personal that we feel the strength of His love, that we feel the benefit of His correction, that we actually know Him and we walk with Him. Over here in 1 Corinthians, where we were just reading, the condition were in these people, I don't know, perhaps, and I want to kind of bring some of that to where us humans live today. They may have said, well, Brother Paulus said you don't eat those things over there that come from the shambles. You know what I'm talking about? Those things offered to idols. Well, you're supposed to be careful. But Paul said, when something is given to you, thank the Lord for it. Don't ask questions, because it came from the Lord. Okay, well, Paul said this, or Apollos said this, and then you can get entrenched in our human understanding. Oh, we can't. Then we come together as a congregation, and I just went out there and I had a good meal, and you said, but Brother Ivan, he ate pig today. Now, that was a thing back in the Jewish time. And not everybody had the sheet come down out of heaven like Peter did. Not everybody, and they were wrestling with some of these things. And in that time period, they likely had these ideas that some sensitivities toward this and some not so much. And they were Gentiles, didn't they carry that with them? And as a congregation, they could have used those, and sometimes it appears like they did. Those things arose and caused divisions among them. And Paul said that's being carnal. Paul said, look at him. No other foundation can be laid except this one. Build on him. Paul made the argument. He said, all these things, the Lord made these animals for us to eat. There are some that with conscience sake, it bothered them to do that. And Paul told those who didn't have conscience against it, he said, don't abuse them. That conscience, don't hurt their conscience. Encourage them. And all, for meat's sake, don't hurt your brother. You notice how the Lord is talking with us. The Lord, if we're listening to Him, if I'm alone with Him, He'll say, be careful. Don't speak a word that will hurt your brother. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving each other. Because my brother's not always going to see everything exactly like I do. At that moment, anyway. But it is our job, each one individually, to go to our Heavenly Father and ask Him to guide my heart aright. Help my understanding. And here in their carnality in Corinth, they were struggling with these things. Today, there are things that past generations have felt very strongly about. And I want to encourage you to understand this. Holiness must always be, godliness must always be what we seek after. And how it's expressed in this generation. And I've used this before. There was a time in my youth, I lived through the era of the mini skirt and the maxi skirt. Saw all that and saw its effect and how there was a time around the congregation, there was preaching And that was a spirit that was alive and working in the world, and with all the other unkeptness of the 60s and the long hair and the straggly, all that was coming. And the church wrestled with that. How do you deal with that? You know, there wouldn't have to be a whole lot of things preached about if we all heard His voice. Think about it. This is what, I'm not saying it's wrong to preach against some things. To cry aloud and spare not and say, brothers and sisters, there's some things we need to worry about. And today I want to tell you. See this right here? Worry about it. I'm not preaching against it. I'm preaching about the evil. When you encounter evil here, turn it off. Turn away from it. But I won't tell you this is wrong in and of itself. I will tell you there's evil that we encounter. Be careful because of this thing and its nature. I can carry it to any private place in the world and I can look at things I shouldn't. Be careful. Hear Him. You don't need me to tell you that, do you? I will. But you need more than me saying it. You need Christ saying that to you. Because I won't always be there when you're alone. But Christ will be. Take Him with you. He might tell you, and you might be doing something completely all right. I don't have Facebook. And I don't have Facebook because I feel like that's evil. I'm not preaching that this morning, but I will tell you that I find ways of using this, and I think you'll find ways of using this that takes more time than what you need. Some time that we could use in a better way. Time that sometimes if I could just sit and contemplate and look at my Lord and say, Lord, talk to me today. Read a little bit of the Scripture, and you know what? I use this too. I've got notes on it here this morning. And you know what? I read a lot of times the Bible on this. I do scriptural research on this. What great tools we have at our disposal today. But I want to tell you, put holiness on top of that thing. Put it on there. Hear His voice. Hear His voice when you dress yourself. Hear His voice in the places that I'm willing to go. Hear His voice. If He says, child, I don't want to go there with you, it's not right. Stop and be quiet long enough to talk with Him. And let Him pour His sweet counsel. Turn back to Him and hold your arms open and say, I love you, Lord. And feel His arms around you. Do you understand what I'm talking about here today? I hope we do. This type of knowing and walking with the Lord will keep us away from things that might be dangerous. I'll give you an example. I don't wear a beard just because I don't like it. I don't like me wearing a beard. I don't like it on me. But I came through the 60s also, and I heard some preaching back then that because there were things going on in the move of the world, that beards got to being mentioned, that be careful about the beards. And I'm not going to say I'm not opposed to any kind of beard you have. Just so long as you hold holiness in that too. Don't have a problem with it. But here's what can happen if we go through a time and I can look at this and I could come up with a lot of reasons to tell you you ought not to have this. And I could even quote some scripture and lay it on this and say, saints shouldn't have that telephone, internet. I give a blanket coverage like that. And folks, I want to tell you if we do that. we should be able to differentiate between the evil that we're crying out about against and the device. I'm not opposed to beards today. But we can look back and say, well, saints used to teach against beards. I'll have to say that sometimes I've heard that. But that's not the issue today. It's not expressed like that. God help us not to get stuck in 1960 or 1880 or any other era. Let us be stuck. Let us be stuck. Let us be eternally bound, eternally value this experience of hearing our Lord. Because that experience of hearing His voice and walking with Him will be up to date every day of our life. It will be up to date in 1880. It'll be up to date in 1960. It'll be up to date in 2024. In 2025, it will teach God. He will teach us how to walk in His holy way right today. And today's when I need my answer, not 1960. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? I am calling us to a place of walking with the Lord that is much closer than any legal thing I could give you today. I want you to know your Savior. Yes. I want you to hear His voice. I want us to be in a place that His love and His character starts being embedded within our heart, in our mind, that His sanctifying Holy Spirit comes down and begins to cleanse me and change me more into the image of my Lord. And I can't give you enough rules and regulations to get you there, but God in His presence and His reality in our lives can bring us to that place of union and sweet communion with the Lord of heaven. And that's what we need. I can't walk with you, and I don't want to either. I don't want to be at every juncture in your life. I don't want to go with you when you go to Walmart or go shopping and walk behind you and say, oh, careful, turn your eyes this way. You know, don't look at that. I don't want, that's not my job, but that is our Father's good pleasure to come and walk with you and I and guide His children lovingly, sweetly, that we might turn our hearts and minds toward Him, that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection, that it might be real within all of our hearts, that today we can live, that He might give us grace to face the things that confront our soul, that war against our soul, that He might give us grace to face those things and gain our victories, that we might know the power of His resurrection within our very soul. That we might live righteously and godly in this present world. Pray for me. I want to serve you.